I want to go on with this consideration of the whole of the liturgy, and I'm going to do it by looking at this another way. But St. John Damascene was the first to call the humanity of the Word of God an organon, that is, an instrument. Now, what is characteristic of an instrument is that it has its own causality, but that causality is taken up into a higher level. Take a simple example, a piece of chalk. You want to write something on the board, you need the chalk to do its own causality, make marks on the board. But these marks are lifted up by the main agent, you or somebody else, and writes on the board something intelligent and intelligible. Now, but without the chalk, I couldn't do it. The instrument is the chalk, but it has to be raised to a higher level by a higher agent, by a higher cause, in order to produce a real result, a real sign. I can make marks on the board, but I can't write without some intelligible action. Now, the most powerful reality in this whole idea of instrument is the humanity of Christ, which is the organon. This is, as I say, it was John Damascene. It's a very famous, a very favorite notion in St. Thomas. So you see, Jesus, in order to save us, had to perform a human action. But since the actor in the depth of his being is the Word, it's an act of the Word through his human nature. And therefore, it has divine power, quality, efficacy, dignity. This notion of symbol, or rather of organon, instrument, is extremely important in understanding the liturgy and actually the life of our Lord, you see? An instrument is something whose intrinsic causality is lifted up to a higher plane and can cause something under the primary cause of an entirely different nature. And that is the work of our Lord. The act of love in which he died took place in and through a full human body person. But it was also the act of the very Word of God himself. So it has an infinite dignity. The liturgy, in a way, you see, performs its own causality. Take baptism. I pour water over an infant. And that puts water, and if his face was a little dirty, it would be clean. When I do that, I also pronounce the words given to me, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And when I say those words, that causality of the water now is raised to an incredible height, and it causes in its own level, or through it, Christ causes, if you will, that this child begin to have the infinite, beautiful, divine life itself. Now, our Lord's whole humanity is an instrument, and it's raised so that everything he does has divine dignity and divine value. And that is what the liturgy continues, you see? When I consecrate bread and wine, it's not me. You see? It's the power of the words of Christ animated by the Holy Spirit which changes this bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. This notion of instrumental causality is absolutely key to understanding Catholic theology. The instrument has to perform its own causality, but that causality is taken up to a higher level. The very humanity of the Word of God is an instrument. And therefore, the acts of Jesus, the man, have an infinite dignity and worth, because they are the acts of God as well. You see? And so that's the notion of why we have a liturgy. In order for there to be this act of God taking place through a human dimension, basically through Christ. But that's why liturgy, you see, is that work of Jesus. There are some partial anticipations of this type of causality already in the Old Testament. But what I want to look at now is that new state. At the ascension, the humanity of Christ entered into a whole new mode of existence, so that he could be present throughout the whole world at the same time. And yet it is his genuine humanity. This is part of, this is a quote. He takes his seat at the right hand of the Father in order to rule. Take your throne at my right hand while I make your enemies your footstool. The scepter of your sovereign might the Lord will extend from Zion. Now those words of Psalm 110 take on their full reality at the moment of the ascension. Next time I bring down, I want to show you a book, in fact a couple of books on liturgy that will help you. But you see, to just reflect on what we're doing and that it's instrumental causality. That is, we too are raised. My words could never change that bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, not in a million years. But my words used by the Holy Spirit can. So my words, my humanity become the instrument of the Holy Spirit. This is why it's so important that we watch ourselves, watch our moral life, watch what we eat, what we drink, what we watch on the TV, watch our sexuality, because it's our whole humanity which is lifted up by the Holy Spirit to be the instrument by which that bread and wine become the infinite, if you will, body and blood of the Word of God Himself. And that's what the sacraments are. And so you see, it's important for us to teach this, but also to act it out, if that's the right way to put it. Now, we read that, for instance, because the ascension is the key to understanding liturgy. Perhaps I'll cheat of that in the next talks. There's a fine book out I'll show you as well. Anyhow, this text goes, then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem sad. No, with great joy. They've just witnessed the completion of God's eternal plan. The humanity of the Word returns to be forever with the Father and have a power to consecrate, to sanctify us through the words he left in the Scriptures, through the sacraments he's given us, and through his own action in his own humanity in and through and to us. You see? So that's why they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They didn't say, oh my gosh, we've lost Jesus, it's over. They didn't. Now, the two fellows on the way to Emmaus started doing that, but they didn't know he was risen. You see? And so, also you find this in Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. He's not left us. And that's the mystery of the transfiguration, which I'll talk about in the next talk. The transfiguration is not an absence, it's a new mode of presence. And that is the basis for the liturgy, a new mode of presence, of which we are instruments in the bread and wine, in the Word. We could make the Word of the Lord present if, laying aside our vices, we preach the Word of God. We have that, for instance, this whole notion in Ephesians 4:10-13, or rather 7-10 would be better. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, He ascended on high and took prisoners captive. He gave gifts to men. Now that's from the Psalm. What does He ascended mean? Except that He also descended into the lower regions of the earth. That's His burial. That He's descended into hell and then rose again, you see. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens that He might fill all things. So this transformed body of Christ, joined forever to His divinity, is what fills the earth, and what fills it in a special way at the liturgy, you see. And so that's how that goes there. Now, this is a remark of St. Leo the Great. It's in a, I believe it's a Christmas homily, but it goes like this. All those things which the Son of God both did and taught for the reconciliation of the world, we not only know in the account of things past, but we also experience in the power of works present. So there's a grace to every mysterion. And when we talk about that a little later on in this, you know, Dom Columba Marmion has this whole book on the mysteries of Christ, meaning those acts that He did in this world, which still endure and have an infinite depth and infinite meaning. There's a wonderful phrase, if I remember, it's Augustine. Audivimus historiam, inquiramus mysterium. We've heard the account. Now let's search out its deep meaning, its mysterion. What does it mean? You see? And so, this involves us then with a deeper penetration into the mystery of time. You see, the reality of time is intrinsically relation. I'll try to explain that. And this is revealed in the resurrection. We come from another. We have a past. Jesus' resurrection reveals to Him in His human mind and to us that we come from God the parent and the Father through our parents. We discover that our existence goes beyond ourselves. We can generate both physical and spiritual life. You see? And so, this is not, see, the basis for this, or the preparation for this, is the notion of the kavod, the glory of God, in the Old Testament. But we'll stop with that for now, and I'll pick it up at this point to go on speaking about the liturgy and its importance.